Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Accessibility Advisory Committee today on Monday, October 7th, 2024. This meeting is being recorded, and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips with everyone. People who are joining through phone calls, you can press star 6 to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star 9. Everybody who is on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. And if you click on the raise hand icon, that will raise or lower your virtual hands. If people are able to utilize these tools, it will be helpful because then we would know that somebody is trying to make comments and we can have speakers in the order received. We can also ask people to stay on mute unless speaking because it helps eliminate any external noise. And we ask anyone who speaks to please describe themselves briefly initially when they speak, because we have been practicing this for quite some time now. For instance, I am a female Asian Indian. I wear reading glasses and I have long dark hair. Chair Sheehan, I can go ahead and read the meeting agenda and then take the roll call of the committee members.
Good, that'll be fine. Thank you.
Great. So before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen to display the agenda on my screen. And as that is visible, if somebody can confirm that for me, I would appreciate that.
Yes, we can
see your screen.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm sorry, was somebody saying something?
It's Sue Boaz.
Okay. So just like I said, that after I finished reading the agenda, we will go through the roll call of the committee members. Then Chair Sheehan will go through the motion of approving the agenda for today's meeting, last month's meeting minutes, and the board report. Afterwards, Chair Sheehan will provide an update about DMV moves. The committee will discuss the Head Injured Award 2024 nomination, and I will provide an update as far as how many nominations we have received, and we can have the discussion at that time. We will have an update about AAC recruitment. As everyone knows, we have had that process going on. We will do a brief update about the wayfinding application called Waymap. At 6:45, we will begin public comments section. At 7 p.m., we will have the bus and rail subcommittee report. At 7:15, we will have Metro Access subcommittee report, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 7:30. I will stop sharing my screen now. And going through the roll call, when I call out your names for AAC members, please confirm your presence. Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy. Just for the record, Rico had informed us that he will not be able to attend today's meeting. Tawan Farmer. Debbie Fisher.
Present.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you.
At some point, I'm going to have to leave the meeting and hopefully I'll return.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner. Doris Ray. Doris is connected on this meeting.
Okay.
Paul Semelfour.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonow.
I'm here.
Okay, thank you. And Philip Weintraub. Okay, that concludes the roster for today's meeting. And Chair Sheehan, if you...
Hello, you didn't say Denise Rush.
I was going to ask that.
I didn't?
I didn't hear it.
Oh, okay. Ms. Rush?
I'm here. Thank you.
I marked you present, perhaps because I knew you're here. Apologies.
Okay.
I knew. This is Vanessa. I am also here. I'm on my phone, my cell phone, 3058.
Okay, thank you, Vanessa. I will mark you present. So, seems like Chair Sheehan.
We do have a quorum.
Yes, I'm confirming that. Give me one quick moment, please.
Okay.
We do, yes. We have
the quorum. Okay. All right.
Anu?
Yes.
Did you put me in, Doris?
Yes. Yes, Doris, I did.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Very good. Okay. Okay, so we will go with our usual review of the agenda. Do I have any additions to the agenda? Anything anyone else would like to bring up? If not, could I have a motion to approve the agenda as submitted?
So moved, Paul Simelfort.
Good. Do I have a second?
Second, Sandy Newsell.
Okay, great. Any objections to approving the agenda as submitted? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Next, we'll have the minutes. Do I have a motion to accept the minutes as submitted?
So moved, Paul Simelfort.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Second?
Second, Sandy Newsell.
Thank you, Sandy. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, the minutes will be approved as submitted. Let's see, board report. Do I have a motion to accept the board report?
So moved, submitted? Doris.
Okay. Thank you, Doris. Do I have a second?
Second, Paul Simelfort.
Thank you, Paul. Any additions or corrections aside from our usual? Paul, you usually like to state that.
Anything that may come out that may change the meeting from Metro Access or at least or any other subcommittee standpoint, we will amend it as needed.
Good. Thank you. Okay. Any additional comments? Hearing none, I will take the board report as submitted, and that'll be approved. Thank you. So DMB moves. We have now had four meetings, and I think the plans, the scenarios basically are starting to take shape. DMB moves, for those that aren't really tuned into this, is a regional an attempt by both Council of Governments and WMATA and other parties in the region to establish a regional transit program so that it's simplified. You have money coming in on a regular basis. You know what your expenses are going to be, and you can actually do some real planning. We have had now four meetings. I think the last meeting that I went to was probably the most, I think, important of the ones that we've had so far. And we have come up with, there have been put together four scenarios. There are two groups. There's the community partners group and the governmental affairs group, and AAC, as well as the RAC, are part of the community partners advisory group. And I think what we're looking at right now are four scenarios. We have gone through two of them so far and given recommendations on those two scenarios. Let's see, a couple of people sent some nice articles. I think, Tino, you are one that sent one from Virginia. There were a couple of articles out there that really, really did a real nice job of summarizing some of the discussions that we have had lately. I would the two scenarios that we have looked at so far and discussed so far. Scenario one is real similar to what we are already used to as far as the region is concerned. It's looking at a scenario where by 2028 we have about $650 million needed to keep the system pretty much as it already is, trying to simplify fares, put a large amount of money back into the capital program to keep that program going, moving forward. And the second scenario, which I think is the one that they really are hoping that we will get to and have the money to be able to manage, is scenario number two, in which you start looking at implementing the visionary Better Bus Network that we have been briefed on several times already. Scenario number two also talks about incorporating into the system the MARC trains. There's been mention of VRE trains being incorporated into the regional system, and MTA also with its various bus routes. There are, I think, there are 14 other bus systems, regional systems that are out there that also need to be incorporated into the overall system. I don't know if they'll be part of scenario three or scenario four. By November 14th, the task force has been briefed, and they will come up with some recommendations going forward. I think one of the areas that is still a lot in flux is going to be the how are we going to pay for all of this? One of the areas that Randy Clark talked about last time for quite a while was being able to afford what we're doing here, talking about having bonds within the region so that we could pay for the systems going forward and we didn't have to start begging money as we did last year. I was not, one of the things that I've learned is that although the plan is going to be ready by May of 2025, the implementation of the plan will probably take through July of 2027. At least that's a little bit of what I've read and what I've seen. It could take longer. And that is because if you're looking at the three jurisdictions, Maryland, DC, and Virginia, they're all on different timetables. The money and how they meet and how they get their money to the group as a whole has to be rearranged, reorganized, which is going to mean that I think a lot of the political bodies in those areas are going to have to be lined up. One of the areas that I brought up, because there are so many moving parts, you've got the finances, you've got the system. What do we want? How do we want to simplify the system? What new services do we want to have? Who is going to govern those systems? Those are the three questions that they're looking to ask, that they're looking to answer. I don't know that we have anything on the governance piece yet. I think on the funding piece, they're looking at simplifying the fares so that you have one fare throughout the entire region, so that you don't have to go, you know, and jump to, as we would in, let's say, in Maryland, jump to a ride-on, pay there, jump to a metro bus, pay there, jump to the subway and pay there, so that you could have one regional, one cost for traveling through the region. That would make a lot of sense. So they're looking at things like that. They are also looking to figure out how do the jurisdictions, the local jurisdictions and the regional jurisdictions communicate with the systems that are already out there. And I think one of the things that came up in the last, and one of the headaches that they have to get through is Everybody is measuring their information and their data in a different way. And everyone is right now very guarded with the information that they have, with the resources that they have. We have Phil Weintraub that just joined, I know. And so not being able to share the data from region to region, not really knowing who is doing what and their on-time performance, being able to measure it over the region is difficult. If you don't have the information flowing to an organization to be able to see how we're doing, it's hard to hold people accountable. It's hard to keep, to be able to present the data so that you know where the resources need to be procured for or supplemented or that sort of thing. So lots of questions with respect to that. On the flip side, it would, as a region, it would allow for procurements, once things are consolidated, to be a lot easier. So if you're doing more bulk acquisitions, things are going to cost less money. And so you've got some efficiencies that can be obtained through that. By being able to take a look at what's going on in the various jurisdictions, you can help to move forward with simplifying those jurisdictions, making sure that you're not running duplicative routes across the same area. I think I mentioned before, one of the things that the Better Bus Network realized in Prince George's County is that they had some of their bus systems that were supposed to be running in parallel against some of the other bus systems that were in Prince George's County. So being able to take a look at what is available in those areas and how they're managing the money and how they're managing the resources and the money, I think, is going to be very important. The other two scenarios we will start tackling in November and December. I think we've made some progress. I think we've got a long way to go. I think we have a good idea that the area really needs to move forward. And one of the areas that continually seems to be mentioned is the Better Bus Network. There's a lot of interest in that, I think, because there's been a lot of data that says it needs to happen, and there's a lot of support for it, and there's been a lot of outreach for it. Being able to implement, I think, the Better Bus Network would be something that would go a long way to moving forward. When I say the Better Bus Network, I know that we've looked at it in several chunks, and I think right now, particularly in 25, which is the year we're in, we have a sort of a skeletal view of the Better Bus Network. I'm thinking more of the visionary Better Bus Network, and that's what's being looked at in scenario number two. And I think that would be increased in scenario number three and four. But one of the things that I brought up was the ability for us to be able to share data across the jurisdictions from the local to the jurisdictional level, and then to whatever the governance body is going to be that's going to take a look at this. And I think that being able to get that data, I think, is important. We've seen in front of this committee over the last year or two what Jordan Holt has been able to do with the data that comes forward, how they're able to go in and predict or at least measure what's going on bus, rail, and metro access. I'm very pleased that both on the metro access side and on the bus side, that you guys want to bring Jordan and her team down to the meeting so that they can start to look at the numbers and start to see why are we meeting this goal here? If we're not meeting this goal, why aren't we meeting this goal? And being able to take a system like that and move that forward so that you have a regional goal for transit, and then you can add in pieces over time, so that it becomes more of a regional product than of a jurisdictional product. Frankly, in the work that I've been trying to do, coordinating, you know, a lot with Sandy and Tino, of course, with Bus and Rail and folks that live in Prince George's County. I look at Prince George's County and I see that there's a lot of money being spent, but I don't see a lot of money being spent on public transportation. I could be missing something, but I don't think so. I looked at a transit vision plan that Prince George's County has put out, and we couldn't find a date as to when it was, I couldn't find a date as to when it was published, but we're looking at a lot of micro transit in that plan. You're looking at the bus, but there are areas where they have micro transit and you're not able to run paratransit or even the bus system all the way through that. So that, you know, within Prince George's County, you've got the rail, you've got jurisdictional bus, the bus, and then you've got micro transit. But to me, it seemed like it's very disjointed. So being able to take a jurisdiction like that and to say, this is what we expect, and this is when we expect you to be able to spend money on these buses moving forward to be able to build the infrastructure in place to be able to support, you know, this type of regional transit system is important. In a report that I read that I thought came out in, or at least the recommendations came out in September, Prince George's County said they had to build 25 miles worth of sidewalks in order to put bus stops in. And so that's the kind of, in a nutshell, that's the kind of problems that regionally DMV moves needs to be able to solve. It strikes me as, you know, and I think Prince George's County may be an extreme case, and I certainly want to stop talking here in a minute and hear from you guys, but in an area where you still need to build 25 miles worth of sidewalks, how can you have a bus system when you don't even have sidewalks? And then where are the buses going to run? And so I think that some basic discussions need to be made, and perhaps on the jurisdictional side, or, you know, and local side, people have to be asked to come up to speed with respect to where they're spending the money, how it's being spent, what their level of priority is, and moving it up so that by, you know, summer of 27, which would be fiscal year 28, we have a plan that we'll be able to move forward and implement and feel good about. So those are some of the things that I'm seeing with respect to DMV moves. I think, you know, there are a couple of really vocal Prince George's County people on the Community Partners Group last week, and they were saying this last month, and they were saying the same thing that we're saying here. Individuals had to go from their place to work, had to take three buses, and it took them 2.5, 3 hours or 4 hours to get to work and then back. And so they're, you know, really asking, how is it that you can have, as part of a region, Prince George's County, that doesn't have the infrastructure in place, and then you've got other areas, and I'm happy about it, Montgomery County, that I think, got a wealth of bus transit that it takes advantage of. So I don't have answers for all of that. I don't have answers for all of that, but these are the kinds of questions that we're grappling with. So I'm going to hush up right now. Love to take some questions and have some discussion on some of the things perhaps that you guys have seen with respect to DMV moves in the articles that you've been reading. And also, I'd love to be able to just hear what you have to say so I can bring these priorities back to the DMV move task force. I have been to one meeting. I've been to three meetings, and Denise has been to a meeting. The meetings are closed, so that they're not recorded, so that you can hear them or whatever, which I disagree with, but I didn't get a vote on that. Also, they have also indicated, you know, they've given us PowerPoints and things like that, but they ask us in the Community Partners Advisory Group and also the on the government side not to be able to share the PowerPoints because they're a work in progress. I also disagree with that, but I am, you know, obeying by the rules. So questions from this group as to where we are sort of in Chair the preliminary part of this. Yes, Anu?
Sorry. Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. We have two people with their hands up. First is Debbie and then Phil Weintraub.
Good. Okay.
So Debbie.
Debbie. Yeah.
Thank you. What has occurred to me, and it's a conversation that I've had over the years, what strikes me about the biggest inefficiencies is how bus routes, let's say in Montgomery County, between the ride-on and Metro, don't really seem to be very efficient. So there will be overlapping routes. There will be places where there's no route at all. And the result is that it doesn't look very organized. Something that we talked about years ago when I was working more directly with providers and with some of the planning folks at with Metro Access was the whole idea of the last mile, and that if we could somehow create a more efficient system in which Metro covers the broad transportation areas and each jurisdiction could provide the last mile transportation, which gets people then into, have transportation into their neighborhoods. It would both ensure perhaps a better efficient use of resources within the jurisdictions. It would increase the access to paratransit, because you are then ensuring that there are more stops among the fixed routes. And I just wonder whether anybody has taken a look at these types of opportunities to maximize the way Metro works as a regional transportation system, and then within each county or jurisdiction, something more direct is done.
Yes, they are looking at that, and I think the example that I have, the Better Bus Network, particularly in Prince George's County, realized they were duplicating some of the routes that some of the other 14 local bus systems were running, and so they need to be able to deconflict that so that you're not duplicating the work that's already out there, and perhaps your buses can go elsewhere. The other thing that I, using Prince George's County again as an example, although they have some micro transit in which they have sort of like call and rides that you can call up and get a ride, you know, schedule a ride and go from point A to point B, it's within a very small local area. And in one case, when I was researching some of this, you had to give 14 days notice in order to reserve a ride from point A to point B, which is just crazy. And then it only ranks to 10 to 3. So although they say they can provide these services, then when you start looking at the services, you say, well, these services are worthless. They're not even really part of the network or part of the grid. So that if you looked at places that have these sort of checkerboard type services with microtransit, you can't apply the fact that this area has transit, that area has transit, so therefore we can run paratransit throughout that whole area. That's just, you know, it's just not effective. And so, but the only way you figure that out is when you really start looking at the service and you start saying, you know, oh, by the way, all I need is 14 days notice to be able to utilize this service. And then, you know, who? I mean, people aren't going to use a service like that. That doesn't make sense. So it's very much what you're saying is part of it. One piece that I was reading, and I think it's been in a few pieces, the transit in Northern Virginia is interested in perhaps combining with WMATA to have one transit system rather than just running their own and combine the resources under the metro system. And I think that's one of the things they want to do is rather than have to take three or four bus systems, let's say go from, I don't know, Loudoun County all the way out to Gaithersburg or whatever, that you've got one system. So you pay once and you ride, whether you're switching buses or riding the rail or whatever, you know, that's the goal. But I know we've got a long ways to go before that. And then who governs those systems is going to be another question coming up.
Thank you. Makes sense.
Thanks. Yeah, it does.
Phil, go ahead.
Philip, yes.
It's also buses that from like inner county, like go from one county to the next. Like say, if you get from like somebody has to get to from Montgomery County to Prince George County, they have to take the subway into DC, transfer, and then take it back, and then take it back out to get back out into Prince George County. So like when they could just go straight from county to county and not have to deal with that. So
more east.
Do something like that, or in even out in Howard County and some of these other counties around, in Anne Arundel and some of these other counties around Maryland, as well as in Virginia, like Lorton or Fauquier.
So you're hitting a subject that's kind of near and dear to the task force jurisdictional interest. I don't know. There were some of the counties that were lobbying to be included. Prince William County, for instance, one of them. Howard County, Anne Arundel County. I don't know how far out this effort is really going to go. I know that they included a few more partners in the task force group. But that whole issue of who gets included, where this gets cut off, who, you know, who's going to be paying into the system, all the financial stuff. It feels to me that is being done by the governmental group as opposed to the community partners group. And all the funding ideas are things that we've heard of in the past with money coming in from special taxes for businesses that are around the subway systems. Not so much, we're not seeing so much of a gap as a gas tax, because that hasn't worked real well in Maryland. But I think the taxing piece and the governance piece is going to be difficult. I know that WMATA has put into the system over the past some bonds, but I think they're going to try to regulate that more tightly than they did in the past, and we'll see. But that's why I think we've got a 2.5-3 year time frame before this gets kicked out. I did ask from someone from Metro who had been involved in some of the financial stuff that and I was confused because I didn't know how long it would take to implement a plan like this. But my question was, so are we going to be in the doomsday budget scenario in 25 this year, like we were last year? Well, first of all, it's October and I haven't seen anything. But I was assured that last year was so nasty and painful to everybody that I think that they have some agreements from the jurisdictions going forward to be able to not repeat that scenario. And so I think lessons have been learned that way. And I think that's a positive. But, I think everybody on this call knows how the budget works and what we went through last year. So the cards are being held fairly close. Other questions?
Chair, this is Benny. So there are a couple of Well, Sandy just raised her hand, so we will take Sandy's comments. After that, there is a point of clarification in the chat, and a member of the public has raised her hand. So let me know how you would like
I'll take the, yeah, I don't know that we have a lot on the agenda tonight, so we'll take the public question at the public comment period if we can. That would be great.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Sandy? Yeah.
Okay, just very quickly, I want to piggyback on what Philip Weintraub said. In Virginia, there are express buses that go from Loudoun and maybe even Prince William's County. I'm not quite sure. Directly, you know, through Fairfax County, very close to DC, but, you know, commuter express buses. But for a local bus for Fairfax County, when I get to, I think it's Route 28, I have to get off of the Fairfax County bus. I haven't actually done this. I've heard stories of it. And somehow get across Route 28, which is not easy, to get onto a Loudoun County local bus. So things like that really do need to be solved at a regional issue. So I just wanted to comment. You don't need to answer that.
Good. I didn't have an answer for you. I think, you know, in one of the areas that I did sort of hammer home, because at least it's an area that I'm a little more experienced in, having had the, you know, the data people in front of us here, was the fact that we need to start breaking it down so that the jurisdictions, the local jurisdictions are reporting to the local levels are reporting to the jurisdictions, and all of that data is moving forward. If we can't get the data to see how the overall system is being utilized, and where the, what the resources are and the growth and the need, then you can't manage any kind of system. So I, you know, I'm thinking that we get someone like Robin, or a Robin type person who's going to be managing all of that data. It'll be interesting to see how easily the local folks are, you know, happy to give up their data, so that you can see how efficient how effective their own transportation systems are. I think that may take a while. And that was something, you know, I thought that the issues were more of a jurisdictional issue. Montgomery County, Prince George's County, all of that sort of thing. But I was corrected by some people who know more about the regions than I do. And they said, actually, a lot of the issues with respect to data, sharing the data, measuring in the same way, are local issues. And so if you could start to bring the local transit properties and having them measure the same way, looking at their routes and coordinating all of this, and this is a little bit of what I've heard right now, is you're going to have a more effective system. But right now, it feels like Tower of Babel, with everyone speaking their own different languages, the terms not meaning the same thing between jurisdiction. So, you know, there's a lot of work needs to be done there. But, you know, I still see the focus as going forward and getting it done. Plan is to be able to complete this by May of 25 and implement it within a couple of years. But we'll see how that goes.
Chair Sheehan, this is Anu. Tino Calabia just raised his hand.
Tino.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Let's see. Doris, Steve, and I have been associated with Melissa Kim's Better Bus Redesign Network.
Yeah.
And the project team under Melissa held many meetings in the various boroughs and communities. I attended some in Prince George's, and also even at a metro stop in Montgomery County. I'm just sorry that more of you hadn't brought up these questions about bus routing and connections during those many opportunities. And now the Better Bus Network redesign work is going forward. I don't know how we can intervene in what's already been drafted so far. It's still up to WMATA's board to accept it. So maybe further changes can be made. And I'll tell you this, if further changes are scheduled, please, all you members who have spoken up or are listening, go to the next opportunities, if there are any, to deal with some of the questions regarding buses. The busing, the Better Bus Network redesign did a lot of work to try and engage communities and individuals. And I don't know how many of you didn't take the opportunities that were offered, but maybe it'll happen. Even though much of the Better Bus Redesign Network drafting has been completed. Thank you.
Thank you, Tina. You know, Tina, I think actually between what we've done here, and I also know the RAC has done a lot of work getting the same kind of briefings that we have, but the huge outreach and the pop-ups and all of that stuff, my thinking is that the Visionary Better Bus Network, which was the grand plan, which is the grand plan going forward, is pretty comprehensive. I'm pretty pleased with it, but not that I remember all parts of it, but I do know that it was going to cost, at least back last year, I think they were quoting $35 million to implement this thing in its various stages. And I know that last year, of course, we were begging and borrowing to be able to get the money just to keep the system afloat. So I think that if we can get the Visionary Bus Network in place, I think that would, to me, be the logical first step going forward. I talked to Al Himes several times over the last couple of months because I was trying to gauge in my head as to where the Better Bus Network was with respect to DMV moves. To me, they seemed like they were disjointed and they weren't talking. Well, I was proven wrong. Al, you know, explained to me that his Better Bus Network is operation. And of course, the DMV moves right now, it's somewhat operational, but it's more conceptual. Where's the money coming from? How are we going to do the governance? How are we going to manage the data? And who's going to run the organization? What do we want to see? What do we want to see as improvements when? And so he said that they are in very much so. Better Bus Network is incorporated into DMV moves. And so if the money is granted for regional improvement, they've already done all the work necessary to make it happen. So I'm hoping that that would be the first best step that we could go forward, because everyone loved the idea, you know, and I'm sure there'll be refinements. I know that having worked with the RAC, and they come to the RAC on a regular basis, like they do AAC, they are always looking for improvement. But right, I know that last year, at least my impression was that they were cash strapped. And so it was, we're wishing for a better season. On the, you know, on the growth side, I would say that the recovery rate for bus and rail is going well. And I also know that from the federal government side, at least, they are trying to pull people back into the office so that telework, you know, people aren't working as much from home, that they're really being asked to come back in, and that's going to help the network also. Anu, how am I doing on time?
We have three more minutes for this topic. We're doing well.
Okay. I didn't even know I'd have this much information, but I appreciate what you know, the questions that are being asked and the focus. If there are, you know, you all know how to reach me, and we can just ask questions through the through our list. And so I appreciate those. As I've said before, I'm not terribly happy with the, you know, the fact that we can't share the information, but I think They're trying to keep it close hold a little bit so they can have discussions at a senior level. But right now, everything that you're saying are things that we've been looking at and giving input into. And Randy said, you know, we keep hitting at the jurisdictions. He was very pleased to hear that we were asking Prince George's County the hard questions going forward. And so, Tino, I don't know, we probably won't try to disrupt your bus rail agenda for October. We want to see if we can get the Department of Public Works into the November agenda so we can start asking them some of the questions.
Yes.
And see if we can feed some of that into what we're looking at with this DMV moves. We've been working, trying to make headway in Prince George's County for 10, 15 years and have not made any headway. And that, I think we now have a shot at changing that, making it better. So I think that'd be great if we could do that.
I hope so. Thank you.
Thanks, Tina. And to the Prince George's County people that are on this call and that have given us advice and given us input, we really want you to stay with us and work alongside us to make sure that we are going to get Prince George's County right. You know, but it's going to take a team effort, and having you work with us, I think it's going to be important. I'm from Montgomery County, so I don't have the credibility to speak for Prince George's County, but I want to see a better network set up in Prince George's County. And then maybe we can move that model throughout the rest of, you know, certainly I'm not an expert on Virginia, but any place that we are hurting in Virginia, I'd like to see us move forward on that. So anything like that, you guys can feed me, call me, feed me the information. Happy to take it forward and represent the best way I can. Did I blabber enough, Anu?
Okay, right on time, actually. And I just want to tell our members of the public that we will come back to your questions or comments on this topic and any other topic during the public comment section. So please do bear with us. Chair Sheehan, moving along to the next topic. It is the Hedinger Award.
Okay.
2024. Would you like to begin by any comments, or would you like me to go ahead and give the update?
Why don't you give the update, and then I might add a little bit onto that, and then we'll move forward.
So I did actually send you a message. Apologies for the delayed message, however, in the chat. So we, just to share with the AAC, we received two nominations. One was complete in the format that we need. One was in an email. So that, and before I go any further, I do want to say that the nominations received are for excellent individuals. If I start talking about them, I can go on and on and on, but that would not be appropriate. I would leave the committee and discuss this further. But so I just wanted to share that, Chair Sheehan, and how did you, if you have a moment to go through my chat message, and if you would do want to see how the committee wants to proceed further with the nominations. The nomination period has closed as of last Friday, so mm-hmm. we are not receiving any further nominations. And at this point, the next process would be the voting process for the nominees. If you'd like, and, I can go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, Anu, I think we had two candidates.
Yes.
I think only one candidate really meets the criteria. One of the criteria was that we're not allowed to nominate anyone who is already working for WMATA. Am I correct on that?
So in past, we have had a discussion and it was decided that employees may not receive, may not be the participants for the Hedinger Award, whereas we would have received the nominations for excellence awards for Metro employees.
Okay. So right now we have one candidate, and I mean we have one candidate that we would like to move forward.
And Tino just raised his hand. So
go ahead, Tino.
I think it was 2 years ago we nominated and he was selected for the Hedinger Award. And at the time, he was an employee.
Who was this?
You know, the one who was in charge of buses and came to our meetings multiple times. I'm sorry that I forget his name. But
he was retired, though, when we nominated him.
Oh, so that makes the difference that he was retired and not employed?
Yes. Yeah. He was retired.
Mr. Tino, this is Anu. And just for point of clarification, I believe you're referring to Jim Hamry. And
yes,
he had retired at that point.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm confused. Anyway, I did nominate someone that I really think is worthy of it, but that person is still employed. So I'm sorry that he won't be considered.
Not, at least not this year, Tino. But your candidate is a good candidate. Absolutely, without question. Anu?
Yes, sir.
In the past, we have one candidate. Do we want to share that candidate with the group?
Sure. So just for everybody's awareness, the nomination, the candidate is Carol Lopez. She is a former employee. She retired from Metro earlier this year. It's been about several months since she has retired. And that is the reason that, you know, any retired employees can obviously be nominees. And we received the entire packet for her nomination. And if we have only one nomination, we would have gone through the voting process if we had more than one, and more than one nominations. But if we have only one nomination, if you would like, Chair Sheehan, we can go through the process of concurrence right now, and we can complete that, you know, voting process.
Very good. Yeah. Do we want to, and I don't know if folks have read the nomination of Carol. Do you have that in front of you, Anu?
If you'd like, would you like me to read that now?
Yes, I think that would be good. And and then at the end of that, I'll ask for someone to move that nomination forward.
Sure. If you would give me one quick moment, I will read that. Yes.
While we're waiting for that, Ms. Rush, while we're waiting for you to get that up, the AAC members need to understand or know the format. If you want to nominate someone, Anu sends out a form, and the form has to be filled out. So, Tino, even if the person you nominated
was accepted, you did not fill the form out properly, and it would not be considered a full nomination. You have to fill out the form that is sent to you and present it and fill out the information on the nomination form.
No, I understood that. Unfortunately, I thought that the deadline was earlier than it really was, and I tried to make that early deadline not having the application in front of me. But so be it. My nominee can't be considered anyway, and I regret that.
Yeah, it can't be considered this year. You know, I think your nominee is a good choice for a future year. Anu, do you have the...
I do, and I will repeat this. It says, throughout her 12-year career with Metro, Ms. Carol Pareto-Lopez was a steadfast advocate for all people with disabilities. She ensured that WMATA's public transportation services met or exceeded ADA standards in public spaces. She helped to guide and oversee incorporation of accessibility best practices throughout the metro system. Her extensive ADA experience included a long tenure with the International Code Council, American National Standards Institute, and the International Building Code Commission. These bodies work cooperatively to include technical accessibility requirements as part of building code standards throughout the United States. Prior to her work with WMATA, Carol was active in accessible design, working with the Paralyzed Veterans of America, a veterans service organization. She also followed the evolution of autonomous vehicles as a means of transport for people with disabilities, advocating that AV vehicles should incorporate accessibility features for disabled users as part of their basic design. She followed the work by design engineering groups at universities such as University of Buffalo, University of Michigan, University of Maryland, and research centers working on implementing universal design principles for projects that could be implemented for WMATA, such as accessible vehicle design and accessible AV design. Carol is a licensed architect who was employed by Metro starting in 2012. Her first assignment was as a design review manager for the Office of ADA Policy and Planning that ensured that all new designs met ADA standards. In 2019, Carol stepped up into a new role as the director of ADAP until her retirement in 2024. Carol and her team supported projects such as the ongoing platform improvement projects, which have been held yearly since 2018. Her studies included reviewing construction, design, communications, and traffic plans to confirm metro facilities and services were ADA compliant and accessible to customers. In 2022 interview, Carol stated, ADAP has been involved in hundreds of initiatives at Metro within our six-year, $12.3 billion capital improvement program. Our work never ends, and we continuously seek ways to make the Metro system more accessible. As director of ADAP, Carol went above and beyond what was required by the ADA. She frequently referred to ADA transit requirements as the floor, and worked to have WMATA exceed ADA requirements. This has been especially evident in the upgraded platform signage in rail stations and the enhanced upgrades in both the 7,000 and 8,000 railcar series. Over her tenure as ADA specialist and director, Carol and her team spearheaded accessibility discussions with WMATA engineering staff to ensure that the accessibility recommendations proposed by the AAC were properly implemented in final designs prior to production. Carroll ensured there were site visits to metro stations, the new Silver Line Phase 2, bus islands, and more to give AAC members an opportunity to observe in person and give feedback to Metro about new design features. Carroll always asked pointed questions to spark observation of features one might not notice. She listened patiently to all comments from the AAC members, both pro and con, took copious notes, and used feedback information to inform and improve on iterative design options whenever possible. For example, Carroll insisted that Metro install expansion joints that are flush with the platform, reducing the risk of a trip hazard in Silver Line Phase 2 construction. Carroll helped to coordinate the implementation of the Waymap Navigation Assistant, a work in progress for all Metrorail stations and Metro bus stops for sightless tech-savvy navigation. For the reasons described above, the following members of the AAC, Patrick Sheehan, Denise Rush, Phil Posner, and Sandy Newsill, nominate Ms. Carol Pareto Lopez to be the recipient of the 2024 Richard W. Hettinger Award. And that is the nomination.
Very good. Okay. So you heard the nomination. I would entertain a motion to.
Tino, you just raised your hand. Go ahead.
I think I'm guessing, but I'm sure that I'm also right, that all AAC members who are at least on this call would be in favor of having her become the awardee. So I would move that perhaps by acclamation, we adopt the nomination and name her the awardee for this year.
And I second that sentiment. Excellent. Paul Simmelfort.
I can, thank you, Paul. I can call for the question. All those in favor of accepting this nomination of Carol to be the 2024 Richard Hettinger Award winner, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
And I won't even ask for dissenting votes. Very good. All right. Thank you, everybody. Excellent. Very, very nice job. Sandy, you did a great job of putting this together. And Denise, thank you for your input on this. Phil, who's not here, also provided input, so appreciate it. I think she's an excellent choice. I was not aware that she had done all that other work with Paralyzed Veterans of America and also with a couple of governing boards that I've been working with, the International Code Commission and the International Building Code Commission. So, yeah, she's done good work, and we'll have to drag her out of her retirement, and the award ceremony will be in December. Anu, correct?
Yes, that would be the first Monday in December, and the date will be the AAC meeting will be on December 2nd. So we will have the 2024 Hettinger Award virtual ceremony at the first part of the meeting, and then we
5:30 to 6, right? Something like that, yeah. Okay. Yes. Yeah, great. Okay, very good. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Anu, thank you for reading that. Oh, that was very nicely written to everyone who was involved with it.
Yes. All right. So that concludes our voting process. Now, moving along to the next topic, we have Waymap update. And I just want to remind the committee that this week, Waymap had invited the members to do a test because they have had some upgrades and they were interested in getting feedback from the committee. I had sent out a schedule for this week, and we have received two members who have stated that they would be doing the test Actually, I take that back. Three members of the committee are testing this week. And if anyone else is interested, please do let me know so that I can inform the Waymap team. The schedule is one appointment, one time in the morning at 10:30 a.m. during weekdays. And the next is at 2 p.m. The meeting venue is right outside of our headquarters in across from Lafont Station. That's 307th Street Southwest in Washington, D.C. So if you are interested in testing the app, please do let me know. But just like I said, that we have three members from the committee doing the test.
And I know that they have, I think you got another participant there. I would also say that they did an outreach through the American Council of the Blind, because that was one of the partners that WMATA was working with. And they put some, they've had some people out there testing it over the last couple of weeks too. And from the folks that tested it, they said it is vastly improved over what a lot of folks saw about a year and a half ago. So I think that that's good. And we'll see. This is something we've been trying to work with now for over 2 years, I think. So exciting stuff.
Yes. So, so this has been going on for about 3-4 years now. And
3-4 years, yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the time we initially tested it at Crystal City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm going to take a look at it on the 14th. And and we'll see where it goes from there. But everything I've heard about it from the people that are tested it said they're very pleased, very impressed with what they have out there.
Chair Sheehan, Kelly, Simon just raised her hand. Kelly, go ahead.
Thank you. This is Kelly Simino. I know in the past that Waymap had offered a stipend for people's time to go out and test. I'm curious, you know, if we should reflect to Waymap to do such things when you're asking a business that's obviously working towards improving accessibility for our community, but at the same time as a business operating to build profit and such, whether it be appropriate for our committee to kind of insist that if they're going to ask our members for their time, that they pay for the time. I think a lot of times the disability community is just expected to give our time freely. And I think in this case, specific with Waymap, it would be appropriate that they compensate those individuals.
Anu?
Yes. Kelly, this is Anu. I just want to state that if any members of the AAC participate, because all the members are volunteers, they do not get any payments. Through Metro, doing testing for Waymap, there is no payment. It has never been associated with any monetary awards. I'm not aware if there has been any monetary awards for Waymap.
Waymap was offering to pay money for individuals to come out and test their app. And I'm curious if this is now a situation where Waymap has been absorbed by WMATA and is not a separately operating entity, but if it is continuing to be a separated operating entity that is wanting the valuable feedback of our members, then I think it may be appropriate for us as a committee to insist that the time that's being given is time that's paid.
Okay.
So I will say, Kelly, that originally I was approached by ACB, American Council of the Blind, to participate on this, and they actually were giving me compensation, $15 an hour for 3 hours. So I'm not sure. I think I knew that's something we can check, but before when I came through and worked through the American Council of the Blind, I was given a stipend. of the exact same each time I've tested.
Okay, and Chair Sheehan, I was unaware of that, but like right. I said earlier, that through Metro, there has never been any monetary payments.
I think that's a good thing to check out.
It may have been through ACB or other organizations, but I would have to really check on that. First of all, through my leadership.
Right. Agreed.
Because there is no money involved with Metro and Waymap. And Kelly, you did make a point, a comment about Waymap being absorbed by WMATA. That is not the case. To some completely separate entities, organizations, Waymap is just helping provide a tool for people who have disabilities who want to use the Metro system. And that's where it stops. So
that was my understanding that it had not been absorbed. So that is kind of the basis of my comment that, like, if it's its own separate operating entity that is, you know, providing value to the disability community, but at the same time is needing the, you know, feedback of our community.
So I do want
to. I always think that.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kel.
Sure, I can. I'll be happy to check on that.
Yeah, but I think that's a good thing to check on. And this is one case that's out there, but I think that we'd have similar situations in the future. So let's check to see where the guardrails are.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Tino, I know. I see you raised your hand. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Kelly.
I hadn't thought of what Kelly raised, but if WMF is a profit-making corporation separate from WMATA, I appreciate her recommendation, especially since apparently, Pat, you got reimbursed or compensated.
Right.
So I don't see why there should be objections for members who take the time and trouble to go somewhere to be similarly compensated in the same way that you were.
Right.
So Kelly's, well, she didn't make it. If she, Kelly, are you going to make it an emotion?
I don't think we need to. I don't think we need to. I think that it's something, that Anu will check.
Okay.
With Lee. You know, if I were in Anu's shoes, I would take it up to, you know, whether it's general counsel or somebody or the ethics and say, what are the parameters under which? And that's why I'm pleased that it was brought up. What are the parameters by which members of AAC can be compensated for doing this kind of testing? You know, I didn't think twice really about accepting money, but I think, Kelly, in all the years I've been doing this, this is the first time this question has come up. So we'll see. Yeah.
Okay. And Chair Sheehan, it is 6:46, so we really need to go to public comment section.
Hang on a second. I think we skipped something on the agenda, Anu. AAC recruitment.
Okay.
Was that you or me?
No. You can go ahead. Go ahead.
Thank you to the steadfast work Anu has done on this. We were able to recruit two people from Virginia. Am I correct, Anu?
So, go ahead, please.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so we have three vacant positions. We received three applications. After going through the recruiting process, applications are under review by legal counsel at that time. At this time, we expect to have two confirmations presented to the board. And when that happens, I'm hoping that we can have that at the October board meeting. I would really hope to have that completed. And that's where we are at this point.
Yeah. Thank you, Anu. And sure. So I'm very pleased about that because I really wanted to get the representation from Virginia up there. And
yes.
So, very good. So that is good news. And thank you to folks, particularly from Virginia, who went out and really got, I think, some good candidates. It's moving forward. Great. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
And I just want to add quickly that once we complete this process, we will keep the application open on our website so that people can submit their applications for AAC membership as they get to it, and we can have applications on file available for us throughout the region in the metro service area, so that if there is a need, we can go to those applications on file and complete and quickly fill the positions.
This was harder, I think, this year, Anu, than I remember it in the past. But I think that's kind of a reflection of what we're seeing, you know, nationwide about people joining groups. I think this is worthwhile. But yeah, it's getting harder and harder to get good people to join committees.
True. But I believe once these two people have joined the committee, I think the committee is going to be pretty pleased.
Good. I agree. Good. Okay. Thank you for that. And I agree with keeping open enrollment so that we don't find ourselves getting into a situation where we don't have a quorum. Okay, we're at public comment period. I believe, Anu, we had one person that wanted to comment on the DMV move stuff. So if we could take that person
actually,
first.
We had two. And there was a point of clarification, which you kind of did clarify, but I want to read that for the record.
Yes.
And DC had a comment stating, asking you if you meant fare for every trip, for example, $2, no matter how or where, or one payment system. So if you can just clarify that for the record.
Right. What I'm understanding is one payment system is where they really want to go. So that you pay once for a trip, I'll just make this out, from Loudoun County to Gaithersburg, and then you don't have to keep paying from bus to bus to bus. That's where they really want to see the region get to. I think in one of the news articles that I read, they talked about having to pay three or four different times to go from Virginia out to someplace in Maryland. And that's just not a regional system. You know, you keep paying the jurisdictions for this, that, and the other, and it just gets to be too much, too complicated. As we stated earlier, the buses aren't coordinated. It's not an efficient trip, but really they want to simplify the fare. And so I think that's pretty exciting. I mean, one of the things that they talked about was, you know, having something like VRE as part of the overall system and being incorporated into the system. And my mind immediately went to the fixed route system that I have access to as a you know, metro access rider. Does that mean that I get free VRE trips? I have no idea. But I mean, stuff like that would be great going forward. And we'll see whether, you know, how the money works and what we come up with. But I think fare simplification is one of the areas that they're really pushing. That might be one of the easiest to get to.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification, Chair Sheehan. The next person we had was Nina Wilson. However, I'm not seeing her on the meeting any longer, and therefore I'm not sure what her question or comment may have been. However, she had raised her hand during the first topic of discussion about DMV moves.
Yep, moves, okay.
So, okay. What I would say is that if any members of the public would like to make any public comments, please either send me a chat message if you can. If not, please do raise your virtual hands. If you are on phone, you can press *9 If you are on the video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon so that we can take speakers in the order received. For public comments, people will have 2 minutes to make their comments.
Is it star six to mute and unmute on the phone?
It is star six to mute or unmute yourselves, okay, yes. Good. And star nine to raise hands.
Ah, okay.
And while I do not see any hands up, Janice Samuel just raised her hand. Janice, go ahead.
Thank you, Anu. Chair Sheehan, I wanted to thank you for your efforts regarding improving Prince George's County transportation. You're right, it's gone on for a very long time, and we, the citizens of the county, are very frustrated, and we're trying to hang in there and be of assistance to you in these efforts. So please continue to reach out to us for any assistance we can provide, because we really want to bring this to some sort of resolution and bring better transportation options and sense to Prince George's County residents. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. There was a lady who was a bus driver in Prince George's County in the DMV Moves meeting, and she was really vocal about how ineffective the bus system was and how this was something that DMV Moves needs to take and really fix. And so, yeah, so we're pleased, and I think there's going to be a movement inside the bus rail subcommittee, I think, to make sure that this is a topic that we keep on and make progress on.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Janice. And I just want to state that if anybody would like to send their public comments before or after the email meeting, you can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com. That's metroaacchair@wmata.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. And that concludes the announcement for public comments. Yeah. Sheehan, it seems like we do not have any additional hands up for public comments today.
All right, very good. Let's move to bus rail subcommittee report. Tino, you're up.
Yes. The agenda for the most recent meeting in September dealt with WayMap, by the way. They started with us pre-pandemic. And in fact, I think I and Denise were the ones who tested the system when they first invited people to go to Virginia to try it out. And now it's being concluded, and I hope more of us will test it out. Given Tom Pei's description of it during the bus rail subcommittee meeting, it sounds really outstanding. Anyway, we also talked about metro rail dwell times at stations. We talked about the signage at the Roslyn station entrance. We also dealt with the preparations for the we discussed the Prince George's County meeting that happened and in August. And finally, Steve Kevin, I don't know if he's still on with us, but he brought up the issue of rear door boarding. And I'm going to follow up with how the District of Columbia handle it, the kind of guidelines they issued, which I think would be satisfactory to us as well. Ironically, the circulator bus is going to be out of business by the end of the year. But anyway, those were the topics And please, everybody, take a look at the draft report that Anu prepared and be ready to vote on it or to amend it if you will. And then we'll vote on it for approval. That was it.
Chair,
thank you, Tino. Susan, yes.
Sandy just raised her hand. Sandy, go ahead.
So Tino, those were the ones that were on the agenda. But when I was looking back through the meeting notes, I realized that we sort of ad hoc added a couple more topics because when they were talking about the dwell times, several people commented about enunciators, and I'm not sure whether that's ENN or ANN, but it's the speaker system that makes the announcements on buses. But more of the comments had to, well, they do it on Metro, but and the Metro person was speaking about Metro dwell times. Anyway, we sort of stole the show and asked, peppered him with questions about enunciators on buses. But the bottom line is always, if you know they aren't working, report it to Metro as soon as possible so they can fix it. And then Denise Rush also piped up and said, in reference to Waymap, please can Waymap include where are the public restrooms and guidance to them? And I'm not sure if Waymap really heard that or is really including that, but we did. But I want to say that that was also brought up sort of ad hoc. Okay, that's all.
Sandy and Anu, could you review whatever the oral record was and patch in the comments that were actually discussed, Sandy mentioned, if they're missing from the draft.
No, Tino, they're already in the draft minutes. That's why I brought them up.
Oh, okay. With respect to the bathrooms in the stations, I think we mentioned that at some point we should have that on the agenda of the bus rail. Or heck, on any agenda, or certainly AAC or the bus rail. That's been a longstanding question, not just brought up by Denise, but she's the one who has kept our attention on it, though we haven't really formally dealt with it. So thanks for noting that, Sandy. And that will, I'll stress that again when we go over the minutes at the bus rail subcommittee meeting so that it'll be, I don't know if we're going to report on the report, but I want to make sure that what Sandy brought up is emphasized. So thanks, Sandy.
Sandy, what was the, this is Pat, what was the first topic you brought up? I got a little bit distracted.
It was the enunciators.
Oh, the enunciator. Thank you. Yes, right. I missed that meeting, and I'm glad you brought it up. I received a couple of phone calls over the weekend, Tino and Sandy, saying exactly the same thing you just said. So I don't know if there is a way that we can get that information up, but I wasn't aware, not riding the rail or bus as much as I used to, that that was an escalating problem.
I'm not sure it's escalating. It's people noticing it and commenting about it. One point that was clarified was that the announcements on the bus are always on Metro buses. The bus driver cannot turn those announcements off, although urban legend says, oh, the bus drivers turn them off. And the announcements on the Metro rail cars are really good on the 7,000 and optimistically will be really good on the 8,000. But, right, you know, on the older trains, they aren't as good. And Metro staff begs us all the time, if you notice it, get the rail car number, get the time, what station, which direction were you traveling, and report it so that they can fix it.
Oh. Anu, can you make sure that what Sandy and Pat have just discussed, I brought up too, it is reflected in the minutes of this meeting, this AAC meeting. And can we figure out a time when whoever deals with bathrooms and rail stations can come and speak to us?
So, Tino, yes, about the meeting minutes, all the pertinent points are, I try to make sure that they are in the minutes for all the meetings. So, yes, to that. And about the restroom update, we have asked for it. And when there is some update available to be shared with the AAC, I'm sure we will get someone to speak about it.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Chair Sheehan, Janice Samuel raised her hand. I'm not, Janice, yeah, are you ahead. Trying to yeah. make any comments?
Yes. To Sandy's comments about the enunciators, can we be told where the rail car numbers are so people can maybe take a picture of those and they can report that? A lot of times, you know, people are in a rush and they're getting on and off the train and, you know, they're frustrated, but they don't capture all that information that needs to be relayed. That's one. And regarding the restrooms and the rail stations that Ms. Rush has been bringing up, this has been a problem over many years. And recently I was in the Largo rail station, and it continues to be a problem with people urinating in the stairwells. How do we prevent that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can, Janice, this is Anu. I can share information about rail car numbers. Rail car numbers are located on the exterior of the rail car as well as on the interior. So if you are towards the end of the rail cars, the numbers are listed towards the ends of the car and outside by the doors.
So if you're inside the car, because I think that might be easier for blind individuals to capture, if you're inside the car and you're where, like, the doors go in between the cars, is that where you're saying the numbers are?
Yes. So, you know, how the rail cars are connected, those yes. end of the rail cars, yes. And just for everybody's awareness, the rail car numbers are 4-digit numbers. Okay. And for Tino, I see your hand. Give me one quick moment, please.
Sure.
If anybody can make a note of the time when they were in the rail car and whereabout, if you don't recall the specific station, you know, for instance, if you were around Gallery Place or Judiciary Square, Metro Center, if you can give at least some area where you were and the direction the train was heading to, or if it's
and so train, are the numbers in the same position? Like if you're looking at the door, are they at the upper right, upper left? Where?
So if you are inside mm-hmm. the rail car, mm-hmm. they would be above the rail, the door.
Above the door. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. And it's always a 4-digit number.
Thank you.
Sure. No problem.
Janice, this is Barbara. If you're outside waiting to board the train, in that case, the numbers will be in the upper corners at the ends of the cars.
Upper corner of the car, not necessarily around the door, just the upper corner
Correct.
Of the car. Uh-huh. Okay, at the end.
And they will be near the emergency call box as well in a tactile format.
And the emergency call boxes are located at the end of the car. Where are they located?
Correct. And then it depends on what car you're in, a new or old one, older one, but they can be near the ADA seating, which is what's facing each other.
So what I'm hearing really is just in general, people need to familiarize themselves with where the car numbers are before you need them, so that you know where to look to obtain the number. Because,
They
yeah.
correct. They are also FYI on top of the rail car if you are looking down from the mezzanine.
Yeah,
They're
well,
written in black.
I'm not seeing that.
But
Thank you.
I think realistically, what Anu said also is when I've reported, I don't know whether I might not know the card number or get the card number, but I do remember what time I was in, Gallery Place on the red line heading to whatever.
Right,
And so that
exactly.
problem is going to be a problem whether you're at Gallery Place or whether you're Port
Right,
Totten or something like that. Yeah. So,
uh,
but getting it reported, that's good. I thought this was a problem that we had solved in the past, but maybe as we get the 8,000 series in and more of the 7,000, we will see less as we retire those older cars.
uh,
do
you
you
know,
know?
there's certainly the numbers are on the 7,000 series. And maybe on the 2000 and the 3000, but I'm not sure about that, about the 2000 and 3000. I think they're on one or the other of those series, but not in all, because sometimes I've looked up and not been able, and I know where they should be. And I've been
Yeah.
on train car rail cars and not been able to find a number where
So,
I thought it should be.
point of clarifications, we have retired the 2000 series, and there are rail car numbers on all the rail cars. They're on the doors, the in-between doors that connect from one rail car to the next. They're on the top of the door if you're inside. And just like Barbara was explaining, they're on the exterior as well, above the rail doors on the corner. Also, every rail car has a unique number. And the reason we ask for rail car number is because if I am a rider and I said that I was on a red line train, which did not have good speakers, there may be 50 rail cars that were used that day on the red line. So it becomes almost impossible for the staff to go back and check every single rail car. Whereas if we provide the specific information, technicians can go check the announcements, the speakers, the system, and work on it to make sure that it's working properly. That's the
And Anu,
thing.
you're absolutely right. Because I know when I was riding the rails more frequently, I would like jump from car to car to get to another car where the speaker was more clear. You know, when it stopped, it was like quick scurry to the next car, and maybe I can, hear through that speaker. So, yeah, you need to know which car.
And
Well, Phil.
there have been questions that the train operators should know. They're driving the trains. They will know once they become aware. They're not in the back of the train listening to the announcements because they're in the in their cabs. So that's the reason if you're able to convey to the train operators, great. If you're able to convey this to station managers or customer service, any way you can inform Metro, we can work on it. Philippa?
Right. I was just going to say, realistically, the primary numbers we should be trying to capture are the ones inside the car, because you don't know once, before you get on the car, where the numbers, which car is not going to have good sound. So either that you catch it while you're in the train, or if you get off the train, maybe try to catch the outside number on the door. But I mean, on the outside of the train. But I think the primary thing would be to capture it while you're inside that actual car.
I agree.
Well,
Good.
also when you get out.
Right, but then you got a crowd of people, you've got the train getting ready to
True.
move in 6 seconds. So I think the best is while you're actually in that car, Like they said, and even if you move to another car, maybe the sound is working.
Okay.
And just another pointer. For instance, I'm not that tall. I have been in train cars where it was crowded situation, and there were taller people who were blocking my view. And I asked someone who was taller if they're able to see the rail car number and if they don't mind telling me what the rail car is. You know,
absolutely.
Just sharing my experience from how I was able to retrieve the rail car number also. Doris, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to get back to the public restrooms. My understanding from really some time back was that the only stations that had real public restrooms were the Silver Line stations going out after East Falls Church, and any other new stations built after that. But I didn't know, and maybe somebody else will remember, I didn't know that there was any kind of systematic effort to designate or look at restrooms in other stations to see, you know, if they're even appropriate and accessible enough for them to be, you know, open to the public. So I'm wondering if anybody else either remembers that or whether we should be checking into it, because I don't recall any real talking about, you know, some kind of systematic review of the existing restrooms, which were always for staff before this came up with the Silver Line and the newer stations.
You know, I see you just raised your
hand. Yeah. This is Miss Rush.
I mentioned before that Washingtonian magazine.
Hang on, Tina.
Hello?
Hang on.
Ms. Rush, go ahead.
Okay. It was reported on the news, and I've said it several times, that the general manager announced that there was a 14-year project that has been completed, and we have all the stations have restrooms. And I have asked him to retract that because that is not true. And if it took 14 years, every station should have a restroom. And it has not been retracted. And I have been asking about it. Maybe, Doris, you weren't in on listening that day, but I know what I heard, and I know that I've mentioned it, and I'm not going to get off of it until they retract that statement.
I hear you.
Okay? And do we have time for Paul to go over his information for Metro Access?
We were trying to get there at 7:15.
Yes. Chair,
thank you.
This has been a great discussion. Tina, if you want to make a quick last comment before we go to Metro Access Committee.
In magazine article with pictures of about 16 stations. And you look at those pictures and see if they're accessible for people with disabilities, or if you go to a station, you see one, ask to be able to inspect it to see if it's accessible for people with disabilities. Anyway, I'll resend the Washingtonian magazine article with the photos of 15 or 16 stations.
Okay.
So let's go to Metro Access now.
Hello, this is Paul Silverfort, Metro Access Subcommittee Chair, giving the summary report from last minute's very invigorating meeting. We had a discussion with the Metro Access OCC management. They were giving us updates in terms of the staff. They're still working on, they want to retain the best and the brightest of their staff and still going through some, staff changes. And hopefully soon we will see, it fully staffed and the stability in the staff. And we're, receiving excellent, the goal, like driver service right now, is to receive excellent customer service, either for a reservation or during the Where's My Ride process or anything else that's related to our Metro Access travel needs. So that is ongoing. It's in a state of improvement. Trajectory is looking in a positive direction, but there's always, obviously, from customers' feedback, a lot of room for improvement and opportunity. Having said that, they also mentioned that in the works, in the testing stages right now, is a My Transit Manager app. And we are, those who are testing will be able to talk about the experiences at our next subcommittee meeting this month. And hopefully, with discussion with management, we, hopefully will maybe get it expanded more based on our feedback and maybe some tweaks so that we get things right for customers and they have a, hopefully I'm looking at a very promising new tool in customers' hands that will empower them with all sorts of information. We also discussed, that the AAC will, once they have their location settled on, that we will be invited for a call center visit, which we have done in the past. We also discussed with management about, issues with Uber trips and things like that, and got some useful information about that, and we'll continue to work on that. They also talked about, rebalancing staff at different shifts so we're able to service customers' needs 24/7 with the call center. We also discussed our new dedicated service provider with Mr. Worth, We Drive You, which operates 100% the Metro Access fleet, that they're out of three different locations right now, two in Prince George's County North and one in Virginia, and some of the challenges and opportunities that they have in making sure that customers receive on-time pickups within their window and some of the things that they're doing. And that looks very promising. We got an abilities ride update from Metro Access Management. As of today, almost roughly close to half on one date, Metro Access trips were on abilities ride because customers have been asking to use it more and more as another tool to ensure that we have on-time performance that, meets that 92-93% marker. And the advent and use of abilities ride right now has been very helpful towards meeting those, getting to reach those goals. Now, he also management has stated that right now abilities ride trips are promotional fares. And we, even though that's been going for 5 years, we shall see how long that lasts. The next one was the Metro Access Next Generation Van update. Metro Access AAC members select were asked to test out these new vehicles at Hubbard Road Metro Access base, and they gave their feedback. They liked the fact that it can accommodate two wheelchairs and leaves freedom to move for an ambulatory person without wiggly and waggling and easily moving in a space in the back where at least four other customers can sit and comfortably seating wise that can accommodate all persons of different body statures and natures. the biggest issue was centering around, as one of some of the AAC members was the ramp. They were concerned that they would like to have some kind of, grab bar that would be helpful, that can be hooked on and off the ramp. Management said they're trying to explore some other opportunities, but the ramp cannot be altered at this point, but they are looking for other possible opportunities to help m maybe mitigate that situation. I want to make sure I'm saying that accurately because I will be corrected. And with that, Mr. Rush, is there anything else we need to add to this or any questions?
Yes, we discussed the seat belts not being properly put on the seats.
Okay.
They're going the wrong way. We discussed trying to get a ramp to get up the steps of the vehicle, but that's not, we said that we can't see where that would be very safe. And we were not strapped down. It really wasn't ready for us to review it, because if you can't strap two wheelchairs down, we didn't see how they were going to strap us down.
That was well noted also in the minutes and also in this public record. And thank you for sharing that. Any
okay,
other?
It was noted in the minutes?
Yes.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, there's something wrong with my machine because I didn't get Metro Access minutes.
This is Sandy Newzell. I didn't get the Metro Access meeting minutes either for September.
Go ahead, Anu. I'll let you respond.
I will be sharing those. I'm hoping perhaps by the end of this week.
Okay, so Paul got them and none of us, or you're going to be sharing them?
I will be sharing the meeting minutes with the entire committee. Paul received a draft only for the purpose because he has to provide a report.
All right, thank you.
Sure.
So also the other important piece is next month for our subcommittee, we have our wonderful guests coming back to talk about some of the data and statistics. So please do come to subcommittee to discuss that we began to discuss at the AAC level. And I invited those guests and they will be here about some of the on-time performance statistics that are available through the WMATA website. And bring your questions. And I encourage you to look at some of those daily stats that are provided by Metro Access in terms of on-time performance and other statistics that we've asked for.
Okay, Ms. Rush, you just raised your hand. Go ahead, please.
No, I have a new phone and I'm trying to lower it. I don't have a question.
Okay, no problem.
If not, I give this back to Pat so that he can finish up the meeting.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, everybody. Anu, I think we are getting towards the end of the meeting. You have a statement you usually make.
Sure. I just want to remind everyone, if you would like to send your public comments, you can do so either by phone or email. You can send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement. Vanessa, you just raised your hand. Do you have a comment?
Who raised their hand on them?
Vanessa Coles. Okay, Vanessa,
I did, and we can address this later. It is regarding the eligibility department. I am finding when transferring or traveling to other states, cities slash states, it is incumbent upon us to find the transportation tax number to that jurisdiction. And I'm wondering, why is it that they don't know those jurisdiction, you know, transportation systems or fax number? Why is it incumbent upon the consumer to find that information?
Well, I can answer from one who travels from sometimes state to state, you know, that they may not have the most up-to-date information because there's so many of them and they may do different things with the service. So that's why, you know, the advice is if you're looking to travel, you know, try to reach them, get that information and let, you know, eligibility know at least 2 weeks in advance. There's a lot of paratransits out there and it would be hard, it would almost be impossible for them to keep up with all their current contact information. And even what I found in my own journey, and I had to be more, you know, assertive about, you know, getting that information to them well in advance if I want to ride, at least 2 to 3 weeks, maybe a month in advance of when I'm going.
So is it transportation department for all jurisdictions, that where you start their transportation system department?
Well, what I because usually do is I'll Google it online wherever I'm going for that paratransit, and usually Google will give me, you know, lead me to where I need to go to get that information. I may make some calls, you know, just to get specific information so I have the correct number that I've gotten off the website.
This is Christopher Colbert from Office of Eligibility speaking. If I can kind of piggyback on what Paul is saying, Vanessa, in addition to the large number of jurisdictions that there are also issues of making sure that the transit agency that you're wanting to use is the one that we would actually find if we were also doing a search. Just thinking about our own jurisdiction, you know, it's possible that, you know, somebody in general could be wanting to use, you know, a paratransit type service in just one of the counties, but not specifically Metro Access. The reason we put that ownership on the customer is because the customer presumably would be the one knowing exactly where it is that they're going to be going. We don't know everything that's happening in Chicago or Cincinnati or Los Angeles or what have you, because there are so many jurisdictions.
Well, maybe that needs to be publicized more, because as a consumer, I don't know either. I mean, I didn't even know we could do such a thing. So I think that may need to be publicized a little more, or maybe,
I think we're at 7:30, past 7:30.
We are at 7:30.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right, everybody. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right. A second.
Second. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Go ahead.
A quick reminder: next meeting, normally a Monday. It's going to be the second. Well, it'll be the third Tuesday. It'll be the 15th, because Monday is a holiday, federal holiday.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Sandy.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you, Sandy. Appreciate that. All those in favor of adjourning, say aye.
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Very good. Thank you, everybody, for a great meeting. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Anu. You do a great job.